Good afternoon. I have to mute because I've got a call to tend to.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and mute now.
Understood. We are starting with the study for section 17, which starts with Pasuk 218. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin tevid kilu urchimu ukilu ukilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud hebavavhe. Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanunei aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanuneihu. Pasuk 2:18. Vayigash Avraham vayomer ha'ah. Ispet adik im rasha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Man chama abad rahmanuta. Ke Avraham tachate banoah. Ketiv yomer Elohim lenoa gets kol basar balef anai with yomer
has joined.
Sevat atzei gofer ve'ishtik v'la amar leya midei Wilaba Arahame Aval Avraham Peshata de Amar Leya Kuchabrihu Daaka Sodom Va Amora Iraba Wigomer Aradana Liere Wigomer Miad Kiti Vyagash Avraham Vayomar Ha'ah Yisteh Tzadik Im Rasha. The translation of Pasuk 218 in section 17. And Avraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous wicked? Rabbi Yehuda says, who has met a father as merciful as Abraham? Come and see. In regard to Noah, it is written, and Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Make you an ark of gopher wood. And he remained silent and did not beg for mercy. While as soon as the Holy One, blessed be he, said to Abraham, the city of Sodom and Amorah is great, I will go down now and see. It is written, and Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. This pasuk compares two righteous men.
Has joined.
And elsewhere in the Zohar. Questions, comments, thoughts. For the people who've just joined, we're talking about Pasuk 218 in section 17. And the Pasuk is basically saying, when God told Noah he's going to destroy the world, Noah
has joined.
Noah was silent. But when God said to Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he spoke up and tried to stop the action. He tried to save people. And both men are considered righteous. They're both considered tzaddikim. So why did one speak up and one not? What makes them different? That's really the question that's being asked in the pasuk.
This reminds me of the Jonah story, where Jonah didn't want to go and tell the city to repent because he didn't think that they were worthy of it. This kind of reminds me of the story of Jonah. Maybe Noah thought of the same, or had the same feelings, or knew that the people were wicked. That's my comment.
And it's a good comment. It's something that it's a reasonable human response. Judge people leniently is what we are supposed to do. But the question is, are we supposed to judge people at all?
No.
In Jonah's case, God is saying, this is what I want you to do. You're a prophet. I'm speaking to you, and this is what I want you to do. So God has made the judgment. The same thing is true with Noah. God has made the judgment. In Abraham's case, it doesn't say I'm going to destroy the cities. It's saying the cry of the cities is great, and I'm going to go down and see. So you're right from a human standpoint, where we know that the cities were destroyed. The world went through the flood, and Nineveh was ultimately told by Jonah to repent. So we're aware of the effect of the statements, and so we're evaluating the three men, as including Jonah, as you just said. We're evaluating it based on what we know in a total picture, or a more total picture. But if you read the language of the verses, you'll see that they're different. Because in the two, Jonah is told, go to do this. And Noah is told, the world is going to be destroyed, build an ark. But Abraham's not told that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. He's just saying that the cry has come up to God, and I'm going to go verify it.
So my question is, why did Abraham ask, or why did Abraham make the remark, you're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Why was that said if Hashem didn't say he was going to destroy it, that he's going to come down because of the cry was great? Why was Abraham's remark remarks about destruction?
It's an excellent question, and perhaps my analysis is incorrect because of that. If you take into that account, or perhaps Abraham understood that with the idea that the Zohar is explained to us, that the idea of God coming down to see was transferring from the Sefirah of Chesed, or the throne of Chesed, to the throne of judgment. And it doesn't mean that God was coming down to the world to really see it. But when we're reading the story and we're reading the translation, we're also, you know, we've known more of the story than what Abraham was told. And I could be wrong. It could be that God had said earlier that he was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it.
Why did Abraham use those words as destruction when God...
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But it also says that Abraham drew near, which would mean that he knew that God is moving to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to draw near to Hashem? We understand that it means that there's a greater amount of light, which means a greater amount of ability to perceive future actions. Remember, Abraham is a prophet.
Well, true. That's true. Just as we see with our physical eyes at times where we have light, major light, like in sunshine and daytime, and, you know, the light is here. But when there's a storm approaching, everything turns dark normally. The dark clouds come in, you know.
Correct.
Clouds are covering over the light and so forth and so on. So I'm thinking that it's some kind of energy that Abraham may have seen or changed in the energy field of some sort.
And Abraham may have felt that, absolutely. He may have perceived it, felt it, however you want to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have the right, or should I consider that Abraham is a greater person, greater personality, greater character traits than Noah?
No.
But that's what Zohar is doing in the Pasuk. The Zohar is making that evaluation. It's asking the question, or it's comparing it. It's not really comparing it and saying one is greater than the other. It's comparing the two and saying, this is what Noah did, and this is what Abraham did. And, of course, we're going to get more information in the next pasuk.
Okay.
Verse 2:19. Amar Rabbi Elazar, uf Abraham, Lavad Shalimu Kita Yaot Noah Lavad Midela I Vila Hai Abraham Lavadina Kika Yaot Vila Yemut Zaka'a Im Chayava Share my Hamishim Arasa me, vain ka, uvain ka, ka amar Abraham, la baena, lemi spa gar ovado. The translation. Rabbi Elazar said, even Abraham did not act perfectly, as he should have done, but Noah did nothing. He did not ask for mercy on behalf of the righteous, as Abraham did, or on behalf of the sinners, as Moses did. Abraham demanded a proper judgment so that the righteous would not perish with the sinners. He started with 50 righteous people and eventually descended to 10. Then he stopped. He did not plead for mercy in any case, whether there were righteous people or not. This is because Abraham said, I do not want to demand any reward for my actions, meaning that he did not believe that he deserved any reward for asking to free sinners from their punishment. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this pasuk is clear as written. Even Abraham did not understand the ultimate human goal, to love all elements of the desire to receive. Please contemplate this. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of the occurrence. Was Abraham circumcised at that time, covenant, when this event happened? I think so, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I can understand Moshe knowing that he had the prophecy to ask for forgiveness for sinners. And Noah, I don't think he quite understood the whole concept. Abraham probably didn't think he had enough merit to ask forgiveness for the sinners, just as I guess Noah didn't. And I'm sure Moshe didn't understand, he was so humble that he didn't think that he had the merit well until he had face to face with Hashem. So I guess the humbleness, I'm going to go with humbleness, that they didn't think they were greater than any other man per se. Ask for forgiveness of the sinner for the sinners.
Moses had been given the responsibility of all of the 600,000 men and their wives and their children. So when you're given the responsibility for people and they do something foolish, as an example of a parent who learns that their child did something foolish. So they know they have to be punished, but they also know that their punishment is not going to kill the person, the children. So if God is saying to Moses, because of the sin of the golden calf, these people deserve death, and I'm going to make a new nation of you and let them all die. So Moses is saying, I'm responsible for these people. Yes, they blew it. They made a really bad choice and action, but it's up to me to try and intercede on their behalf. Abraham, on the other hand, is saying, let's look at what their actions are. There's some people are righteous, some people are sinners. Let's evaluate what's what and only punish the sinners, not the righteous. And Noah did not even ask for that. Noah is saying to you, this is your decision. I'm going to be your servant and do what you want me to do and build the ark. So we're seeing where the Zohar is bringing all three people and evaluating them, comparing them. Even Rabbi Elazar is saying that. I'm comparing the three different people. But yet we're taught it's not up to us to evaluate the three people. But it is up to us to learn from the three people. And that's what the Zohar is giving us, the tool to evaluate the three by understanding the differences between them.
So we're actually dealing with the three sephirot, that be Hesed, Gerara, and Tiferet, because there's right, left, and middle. They come together and they make a judgment with justice attached to it.
Well, not quite. But your statement is a good. You're in the right direction. Because Abraham represents Chesed. Noah is not a chariot for any of the seven sephirot. But Noah is dealing with a level of Yesod. But he's dealing with Yesod of Malchut. Why? Because he's called a righteous person. And later, throughout the Torah, we learn that the word righteous, the word tzaddik, is applied to people who are sexually pure, who are controlling their inner lust. So we understand that Noah is related to Yesod, but it is so at the level of Malchut, because he was dealing with the end of the world. But Moses starts out as a chariot for Netzach, and through the course of his life, grows to be connected to the Sephirah of Dat. And we know that Dot isn't a Sephirah. So we're not really comparing Chesed and Givurah and Tiferet. We're comparing the intellect, which is Dot, to the heart, which is Chesed. The intellect says, I can ask for mercy, but not for me. Because you're offering me this wonderful gift of making me the nation. Moses is saying, intellectually, I'm concerned about God's reputation. His argument is, the other nations are going to think that you destroyed the Jews because you couldn't protect them. You couldn't make them. So so you allowed them to become destroyed. This is an intellectual discussion. It's an intellectual balancing of different concepts. No, Moses isn't asking for himself, and you're right. That's the attribute of humbleness. You've been offering Moses this wonderful gift, and he says, no, I'm more concerned about your reputation. Whereas when it comes to emotions, which is Chesed, which is Givurah, which is the Sephirot of Zerantin, when it comes to that level of the emotions, I'm only concerned with strict judgment. Whereas the righteous or the good people get protected, but the sinners should be destroyed. That's strict judgment. And while Abraham has not yet been tested in the binding of Isaac, he's been circumcised. So we know that he is connected to Yesod, and we know that he has an attribute of Givurah within Chesed. He just hasn't been tested to prove it, but his argument proves it. He's saying, I want judgment. I don't want just to save everyone. So yes, I'm in a level of Chesed. I'm the chariot for Chesed, but I recognize there is a need for judgment. So you were on the right track, but you didn't understand the relationship of Noah and why he is different. And why is Noah different? Because we deal with, there's a group of people now called Jews, or really children of Israel. Whereas when it comes to Noah, there's these 70 nations that Noah is the father of. Go ahead, Hannah.
Can we not use all of them as an example of the levels and ask Hashem to go higher, especially with what we're going through today, the whole world, and crying out for mercy and asking them to.
But are you saying there's righteous people in the world today?
Well, I don't know what you said. Let me finish my sentence.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, that for his name's sake, that he give mercy to the world. I know at Hanukkah time we received a lot of miracles for the coming year. And I had someone in my life that I knew quite a while back, and his daughter was real sick, and she was young. And she may have been one of the first cases of COVID. I don't know. She was that sick and so young and had just come back from Israel. And praying that she would make it through, along with a lot of people all over the world. I got asked the question, was I willing to give up one of my miracles for her life? And my answer was, what if that one of those miracles would be my own daughter's life? And I could not answer, I couldn't go any further, which I can relate. I certainly didn't have the righteousness of Abraham. Maybe I fit with Noah, I don't know. But anyway, she passed away. So this passage, I'd rather just say, Hashem, for your name's sake, because we don't deserve it, and I don't think we can reach the level of any of these, Moses and Abraham. And that's all I have to say right now.
I'm sorry for the pain that you're feeling. I'm going to answer you your question or your statement, not as a criticism or not as a what may have sounded what I said earlier. I was dismissing it because I'm not. We live in a generation that is very weak. What does it mean that the generation is very weak? It's not that it's sickly, although that's true, it is sickly. It cannot, it's not able to fast. We're told not to fast, to pay ransom rather than fast. But the real question is, why are the elderly Jewish people living in Israel, all of these religious people that we hold up as being righteous because they're religious, because they do all the mitzvot, or they talk that they're doing all the mitzvot. We don't really know what they do. But all of these people, one after the other, there's recognized righteous people in the children of Israel, in the Jewish nation living in Israel, one after the other has died. These major people that have died in Queens, in Brooklyn, and all of the big arguments with the Hasidic group in New York City, all of this has had an impact. And now what's the argument coming out of those cities, the city of New York and the areas of the children of Israel? We've reached herd immunity. We don't need to be concerned anymore because we don't really let outsiders into our communities. And everybody has already had the virus. Who's going to get the virus? Which is a little bit of chutzpah. It's not humility. It's not feeling the pain of others. So the point you're raising is very valid. We have the obligation to ask for mercy, but we're asking for mercy from a frame of the generation is so negative, which is why the virus has happened, as we've discussed briefly in many different places. And I am sorry that we're out of time, so I can't let the opportunity for people to express themselves in case you disagree with me, and I hope you do disagree with me. But we don't have the time, and I apologize for that. So thank you for a very good discussion for all of you. And I hope you'll join us for our class tonight, for the Zohar class, because I've been told it's a very interesting section. You all be well. Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.